Hello, hello, hello. My name is Joe. Welcome to the show.
And I'm Jordan.
And this is Double Trouble Features.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, God.
You know, I think we're going to each week do something different.
Oh, I can't wait to find it. It really just adds a little pizzazz to my day.
Also, it just shocks you every single
time. It shocks me every time because I'm like, what is he going to? I'm always like, is he going to do something? And then he does something. And I'm like, okay, that's what we're doing. And you're right. It is different every time.
I think we're going to bring a firecracker next time.
You know what? I need a little excitement, a little spice in my life. I just came back from Hawaii. Nice little vacation.
I hate you so much.
I was on island time. I almost wore a Hawaiian shirt, but I didn't want to be associated with a certain somebody on television right now.
I think you're talking about Jeremy?
But maybe. It might be him. We can get into that a little bit later, though.
Actually, but real quick, you look like the perfect guy to wear a Hawaiian
I look good in a Hawaiian shirt. I won a hula contest in that shirt. Let me tell you, I was throwing ass. I had this one girl come up to me. She said, "You can twerk better than I can." And I said, "You know what? Years of training." And I even got an ass.
No
but
ass.
But you saw that video. It almost looked like I had one.
But anyway, there's a lot of things that happened while you were gone.
Oh, there was so much that happened. What happened, Jordan?
Yeah. One of the topics we're going to talk about today, our quick topics, we're going to talk about some of the Oscars.
The Oscars? What happened? Who's there?
Yeah.
Jimmy Kimmel again.
Thank everybody. But we're also going to talk about Variety's list of possible winners of next year
of 2025. They're already shooting out predictions. Like,
crazy.
Like, are we just telling the future at this point?
Yeah.
Or is it actually just all bought and paid for the way people think it is?
Then we're going to just talk about some of the movies we've watched, and of TV shows. And of course, we're going to talk about the last and final part of Lib, Love is Blind.
The reunion special. Although I wasn't here last week, and there was a lot that happened while I was gone, so we may dive into those last couple episodes. Oh, my God. So, Jordan, what were your reactions to the Oscars? How were your feelings throughout the night?
Okay, me being honest, it's pretty boring.
It was.
I thought it was pretty boring. I do want to get out the way. I'm defending Jimmy Kimmel.
Okay, that's fine. He did a good job. He did a good job.
I thought he did, after the Golden Globes, I think he did the job of what every host is going to do from now on, is just stick with some bland bullshit jokes that like are a little ha-ha chuckle.
Yeah.
But like, nothing outstanding, nothing that's doing anything at all.
It's very much the obvious, like,
yeah.
That's what it was. And I mean, for all intents and purposes, being an MC of a show like that, yeah, it's not supposed to be a comedy hour, which is how some people have been using it.
True.
And so,
and I enjoy, but the thing is, yes, it's a award show and it should be about the movies or TV shows that they're presenting, but you got to entertain a live audience, and like, it was not entertaining.
What I did like about the Oscars is I feel like it got split up a lot more. It wasn't just him all the time.
Yeah.
Like it has been in years past. Like they did go to those kind of co-presenters every now and then. And I thought that was nice. And honestly, some of my favorite parts came out of that with them bouncing
Emily Blunt
off each other.
And Ryan Gosling.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was the that was the best, like duo. They were hilarious. I liked the bit with Michael Keaton and
Danny
DeVito and
Arnold Schwarzenegger. Oh, and when they brought up Batman and Robin, I was finally, it's our time. Batman and Robin fans, rise up. We are few and far between, but like, God, it's only gay people. Only gay people like that movie. Thank you, Joel Schumacher.
Right, first of all, that was a great movie.
Jordan, you're going to have to learn that a lot of people have panned that movie, including George Clooney. If you didn't grow up as a child during
it's a god awful movie. It's a terrible movie.
I disagree. Uma Thurman is Poison
again.
Ivy. Ugh, it was. That is peak cinema, and that is a high I'm always chasing, and why I honestly, every day. Honestly, it's probably why I'm known for, I enjoy quote unquote bad movies, and it's probably because me and my sister watch that movie at least once a week.
It's great.
It was, those parts, that's what I'm talking about, is like those parts are what made it interesting. Those parts are what made it funny.
What do you think about the John Cena?
Whatever. My thing,
I thought it was a good bit.
I thought it was a good bit. However, mine was more about the like reaction of it, because that was a nearly naked man parading around on screen and drag queens are the problem. Like, it for me, it was one of those like no one had a word to say. No one said a goddamn word about, other than it was funny, or I saw a lot about John Cena must have a humiliation kink. I don't know who they're talking about, because that man was snatched up. He looked good.
Yeah.
And he looked great. And I thank him for it. But this double standard in media of like what's socially acceptable is really kind of hitting a wall for me personally.
I thought, first of all, that's a perfect costume. Like, segue into like best costumes.
Yes.
I thought it was a perfect segue. I think it's funny. It's just like, first of all, again, it's supposed to be a dumb bit. Like, it's supposed to be a dumb bit. Somebody wanted to do it. John Cena's promoting his new movie, Ricky Stenicki, which we'll get into later.
Do we have to?
Yeah. And so it makes sense. It's funny. They panned it onto Margot Robbie and she was laughing like what the hell.
I thought it was funny. It was fine. I just, like I said, for me, it was just more of the I don't know if I know what's quote unquote acceptable anymore. Everyone's gonna be mad about.
But also, you gotta think like the Oscars. That's the other side.
It's supposed to be a prestigious award show.
Yeah.
That's why I'm confused though, is because, you know, people sit there and they talk about like honoring that stage and doing all that stuff, but then like. This, we get a couple chuckles, and it was funny. I enjoyed it. It was something I'll think about later tonight, but I just don't understand where the line is, and I think that audiences don't either. And it's getting confusing, because I don't think the Oscars know where the line is. I don't know what they're trying to do, and I think that's why they're having so much a hard time with all of this.
Because now it's not just an award show anymore. It's a show. It's a production.
Yeah.
And they, if they want advertiser dollars, if they want because you know who's paying for these Oscars, who's doing all this stuff, and so you need something to pay for it, and you got to make it at least a little bit entertaining, get viewership up.
But was this it?
No, okay, it was then. Okay. Again, it was very boring.
There was just no major upsets. There was no one who I was like. I mean, that's kind of the other thing is like. Everything that happened, I was like, yeah, that makes sense that it won.
Yeah, no. And I really do think that, like, now that we're in a super hyper social media age,
mm-hmm.
it's like, I know I have, like, you have this podcast and you have a million other podcasts and there's actually data, like, predictions and stuff like that of, like, who's going to win and stuff. And now it's very predictable of, like, hey, this movie is going to win Best Movie of the Year. This director is going to win Best Director. This actor, actress, blah, blah, blah. Like, we all knew. Like, I told you guys, or we told you guys at the beginning, Oppenheimer's going to win Best Movie.
Oppenheimer's going to win Best
Movie. I told you, like, Emily Stone.
Emma Stone is going to win for Poor Things, which I wasn't surprised by in the least, just from the way people are talking about it. Like I said, I hadn't even seen Poor Things at the time. Like,
Cillian Murphy was going to win.
We knew this.
Christopher Nolan is going to win Best Director. But, hey, also, good for Christopher Nolan. Did you see how much money he made off of Oppenheimer?
$100 million
off of that movie.
Okay.
For a director, you think that's not that much?
No, I think that is an obscene amount.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I think it is. I think it, the exact opposite. I think that's so much money, and knowing what people do make in the industry who aren't a director.
Yeah.
And I get that he's like in charge of the movie and that's
the
whole thing.
But he got 15% of the revenue. That's the
kicker.
That
was a good contract.
No, that's a great contract.
That's a great contract.
Good deal. Same thing with Robert Downey Jr. for Tony Stark. Like, when you start being like, hey, if you want me to do this movie, I'm not taking no flat rate. Give me a percentage of like. Margot, she's the producer.
How there was like no question that Robert Downey Jr. is going to win. They're like, we know it wasn't even a joke. It was like, come up here and get your prize, babe. But that's the thing. Even they looked like they were telegraphing it.
Again, I love Cillian Murphy as an actor. I think he's actually a great person. He had the most smug look the entire time.
The
night.
Entire Oppenheimer the, cast did. They, and, they and like, did. Don't get me wrong. And, like, lie. Don't get me wrong. Like, it was a good movie, and it won all the awards, and it was fantastic, and it was the crowning achievement of this year. But, like, girl, show some humility. Like, and
Cillian Murphy had the biggest smirk, and I was like, bro, this dude does not care. He knows he's getting this Oscar.
And but I mean, at that to his credit, if you know, like, yeah. What am I gonna do, not smile?
Yeah, but then you have Emma Stone, who's just like, oh my god, I won, oh my god. Which, again, I call bullshit that she really didn't think
she
was going to win.
I do think that the best actress category was a little more. I think it was between her and Lily Gladstone.
Lily Gladstone won one time, and Emma Stone won every other time. So why is Emma Stone shocked? That to me, like, I don't know. I didn't feel for it. I didn't feel for her of like, oh my god, like. But I do love when they do think like. All the other women.
Remind
like,
me, who won for Best Supporting Actress?
Best Supporting Actress was from The Holdovers.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, Divine. Yes. Okay, that makes me feel better. Because I was like, was this Oscar so white again? Because I'm sitting there thinking of the top four, so one out of the four is not white.
Yep.
Okay.
Director white, though. I mean, does Irish count?
Unless they are black. Or a person of color. If they're a person of color, yeah, sure. Like, that's, I mean, they're white.
Yeah, no shit. But yeah, no, so I thought this Oscar was pretty boring. But, so again, I'm a huge sports fan, right? Huge sports fan. And sometimes, especially in like college football, it's kind of predictable who's going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And they do, like, Chiefs won Super Bowl. And they already were predicting next year who's going to be at top, where we're going to place in the rankings and stuff like that.
And I'm sure they have us at the bottom because they hate us.
No, we're definitely, I think we're a 2 seed predicted. And that's because, you know, the contracts, you know, who's going to be on the team based on what they did this year. How the hell does Variety know who's going to win for next year?
I mean, they do. I mean, it's kind of similar, though. The contracts are. We know about these roles way in advance.
You know the roles,
and we know when the movies are going to be released. So they predict based off of that. What you're saying right
but
now,
like how am I supposed to know this person that I haven't seen them act is supposed to be amazing in this role?
I think there are certain inside. Theories and insights, yeah, but like at the end of the day, I mean, these people. How do I put that? These campaigns, these Oscar campaigns, start like a year and a half in advance.
True.
Like they go to their publicist. They go, I think, or the publicist comes to them, or the studio gets them a publicist. At some point, a publicist comes in, and they're like, "We want an Oscar for this role." So they start campaigning, and so they start. So publicists start leaking these. They're like, "Oh,
they go
this
to Variety,
is
and they're like, hey.
This is going to be the next Oscar. This is going to be the next." And Variety eats it up because they need to sell ad space.
Yeah,
it's
they need
that,
something to put into their magazines.
It's that
stuff.
Simple. I remember, like, when I was an intern at a publicity firm in Hollywood. Like, it was way in advance, and like I had to start looking up. Oh God, it was. In July, I started looking up Oscar contenders for the next year, which is around March, February, March.
Jesus.
So, like, yeah, it was crazy in advance. And I had to put a list together for them of everyone that one of our clients would be up against and who they're looking at. And I, like, I was an intern doing this. So, but yeah, I was going through all of the trades and figuring out who.
Yeah, because you can also, like, see, like, I see a movie like I knew Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yeah.
I knew that was going to be Oscar.
But it's also almost systematic into when they get released.
Yeah.
Of because everyone knows they call it
timing,
Oscar.
Yeah, the timing, like all the fall into winter is all Oscar.
It's Oscar season, and they call it Oscar bait. And they're like, oh, I mean, Maestro was panned as Oscar bait. Like, people, like, a lot of people didn't want to watch it because they knew what it was for. It was to get Bradley Cooper his Oscar. And that's what they were trying to do. Everyone knew that. Normal people knew that. Like, everyday people were just like, this is what this is. We know what this is.
Yeah. And Killian got it. So.
And so now they're making predictions for 2025. And, you know, good on them. It'll be – it just I want to revisit this article in a year and see what stacked up.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Great. Let's – for our year anniversary, let's do that.
Our anniversary? Stop it.
Okay. But, yeah, so tell us what you think. Movies that are coming out, what do you think? Who do you think is going to be best picture?
Yeah.
Best actor, best actress.
What's coming out this year? What's something that you think is going to win the Oscar for next year?
To be honest, I don't really focus on Oscar movies. I focus on, like, what are the big blockbuster movies?
Yeah. Oh, it's about to be blockbuster season.
To be honest, Dune. Dune 2. Dune 2, best picture.
Best picture?
I'm okay with that.
You know?
Would you be mad at that? Would you be mad at
I don't know if I'd be mad about it. I would. We'll see how this year goes. Because if it's another, I mean, I feel like, I don't know.
I don't think Timothy deserves best actor.
No.
I can see
Javier Bardem, though. He could win best actor any day.
I can see Zendaya, maybe.
I think she has other roles coming out this year because
she has that movie.
She has that. I that's going to be an Oscar bait movie. I think that movie's going to win some Oscars.
Okay, bro, I'm so confused about that movie.
What about it?
Like,
okay. What, you hate polyamory?
So it's not polyamory though. It's not.
Yes, it is. Because
she chooses one.
Well, I don't. We don't know that because we haven't seen the end of the movie.
No, from the trailer, she chooses one, and then the other one gets butt hurt, and then they still kind of fuck, and then the one that got chosen was pissed off because they're married.
That just sounds like polyamory to me, baby.
All right. So anyway, yeah. So again, from last week, Dune 2. That's my best picture.
Best picture for next year?
Definitely best director. I do not care about anything about that. But let us know. What do you think? Movies that are coming out, actors that are in those roles, let us know in the comments.
All right, so we're going to get into some movies today. What have you been watching this week, Jordan?
Well, again, I saw John Cena naked on the Oscar stage, so I was like, you know what? Let me watch this movie.
Not naked enough.
He was naked enough. But yeah, so that ad worked for me. it did. It 100% did.
You know what? Fair, because I almost watched this movie because of that.
Yeah, so, again, guys, you know, I've been watching nothing but Oscar films this entire time, so I was like, I need a brain-dead movie. And Ricky Stenicki is a brain-dead movie. It is a 5 out of 10. It is a very average movie, doesn't move me. I wouldn't say it's not bad. It's just, it's cool to be on the background. It's 100% cool to be on the background. But let me tell you more about it. but again, you have Zac Efron as the main character. Him and a group of guys, they lie about this one character. So, like, it opens up, bro, in the past when they're kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is, again, this is it's a bit. So they set a dog shit on fire in a bag. And, you know, you're supposed to open up the door and step on it, and then you're stepping in dog shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, the people weren't home, and then the scarecrow next to it got caught on fire, and so the house is about to start burning down. And then they're like, holy shit, what the fuck, blah, blah, blah. So then, to not get caught, they make up Ricky Stenicki. And then they go throughout their entire lives making lies about this guy, Ricky Stenicki. Oh, let's blame this on Ricky Stenicki. Oh, this on Ricky Stenicki. So what happens is
nobody caught on ever.
No,
to a name like Ricky Stenicki,
bro. Okay, you know what's crazy? Zac Efron's mom, literally is like, "Oh yeah." Zac Efron was like, "Yeah, do you remember Ricky?" And she's like, "Oh yeah, I remember Ricky." Bitch, no, you don't.
Parents lie anyway.
No, you don't. But it's just so what happens is The three guys are, well, two of the guys, there's a baby shower today. And they're like, oh, crap. I get a call from Ricky Stanicki. He has cancer in his testicles.
My God.
Oh, man, I'm sorry. It
was testicular.
Yeah. And then it was like, but didn't he already have that? And he was like, yeah, it's in his other nut. And then so they're like, no, go. It's fine. You can miss the baby shower. And so the boys go to a concert in Atlantic City. And that's when they meet John Cena, who is Ricky Stanicki.
Okay.
His name is Hot Rod. Okay, the funniest part of this movie, like, I'm not going to lie, this part definitely had me dying. So his name is Hot Rod, because what he does is his role, like, before he becomes Ricky Stanicki, he literally plays different songs and make them all about masturbation. So, like, Beat It by Michael Jackson. But the funny part is...
I feel like you wouldn't have to change much to Beat It.
But the funny part is, like, you see John Cena dress up as all these different people. So
drag?
Like, yeah, he basically does drag. But it's funny. It's super funny. And again, John Cena is down for the humiliation. And then, so after that, they're like, they get back. And one of the guys is the guy's wife who's pregnant had the baby while they're in Atlantic City.
Oh, my.
So they're flying back. They get back and they're like, oh, my God. Like, what's like, oh, shit, you just missed your child's late, like, birth. And they're like, where were you?
How long were they in Atlantic City? Why is the baby shower?
No, it came out 6 weeks early.
OK.
Yeah. So they are like, so. They're like, oh, fuck, what's wrong? Yeah, we met up with Ricky Stanicki. And, well, they're like, well, Ricky better come to the christening, the circumcision. And they're like, oh, no, he can't. But then one of the guys was like, wait, why can't he? He's supposed to be coming.
Somebody finally asks a question.
He's like, my boyfriend here told me that he's coming on Saturday, so he can't stay till Sunday. And then they're like, motherfucker, you're only supposed to use Ricky Stinky for a three-man job, not a one-man job. So that's when they hire John Cena to become Ricky Stinky.
I'm going to start playing a game this year, and I would love for you all to play with me. Ooh. The question is, was this movie written by AI? Or just a straight man? Because this sounds insane to me. They bring him back with them? They brought John Cena back to wherever they lived?
Yeah, they flew him out.
But they didn't bring him back when they first came.
Correct.
So they reached out to the man in Atlantic City again.
Yes.
Who does masturbation drag.
Basically.
And they were like, hey, man, we just met you. And you do masturbation drag. Do you need some money? And they were paying him, right?
Yep.
Okay, good. Okay. And we're going to fly you from... I just feel like there could have been your everyday drag queen that we could have hired off the street to do this. And they would do it, too, for a dollar. They'd be like, I will pretend to be whatever man you want me to be for $50. Most drag queens in any major metropolitan city that haven't been on RuPaul's Drag Race will do that for you. I just feel like there's a lot of steps that make no sense. So it's either a straight man was like, yeah, this makes sense, or a computer did it, because that's a mess.
I feel like this, I mean, the movie's been done before. Like,
fair enough.
Yeah. Like, it's not.
But that's almost why it feels like AI or a straight man. It's unoriginal.
I mean, yes. Like, yes, I guarantee you a straight man, like, said this, but, like, would I be like, oh, this only insane plot would only be made by a straight man or AI? No. I mean, it's just like, hey, we're making a dumb movie with Zac Efron and John Cena, like, as the main characters. That's a dumb way they meet up.
All right, defend your movie.
Like, okay, chill out.
See?
Chill out. It's got Jeremy Fowler from the what's that movie that we both saw? The Blackening. The Blackening.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Jeremy Fowler is The Blackening, and Andrew Cetino. Love his podcast, by the way. It's hilarious. But yeah, no. Now, this is what I will give you. This was written by some TikTok people. I'll give you that.
Okay.
I'll give you that.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
We don't have to just say it's a straight man.
Sorry. It's a straight TikTok man. And maybe that's more what I meant. I think that's more of the brain I was thinking of. It's like,
you think straight men just write dumb movies? But they just,
I mean, historically.
They just wrote Best Picture of the Year. So,
can you just stop sucking off Christopher Nolan on camera? Like,
hey,
he
bro, that's
he
my favorite director.
He doesn't love you back.
That's my favorite director.
He doesn't love you back, and I need you to know that.
But anyway, so hey, if you just want to watch something, to just watch something to turn your literally off. There's no thought in this movie. On the ha-ha scale, I would probably say it's a, oh fuck, man. Hey, there's barely a decent amount of chuckles.
Okay.
But it's all right. Like, I didn't turn it off. But like, if,
so it's a movie you put on a Netflix and chill. Got
yes,
it.
Yes, to Netflix. If you're trying to fuck, this is the perfect movie to fuck
what?
To. This is the perfect. You're like, hey, babe.
To John Cena doing drag.
You just turn it on, and then all of a sudden you're like, look at each other, and then you're like, okay.
Like, this movie's boring. Let's make out.
Yeah, 100%.
I get it.
But if I left to go do something, if I had to get called down, probably would not turn it back on. And I would be okay if I didn't finish the movie.
That's
yeah. But it's not a bad movie. It's not a bad movie. If you watch the whole thing, it's decent.
It's just supremely okay.
It's supremely average, and that's why it's a 5. Well, remember, guys, 5 is average. 5 is not bad. 5 is an average movie. But talk about the movie that you watched.
Oh, I watched Damsel on Netflix, and it was a movie that happened.
Okay, before you get into this, the funniest thing is my parents yesterday were like, this is an amazing movie. Please show me. Or you should definitely watch it. They said, oh, it's great. A lot of this and that. And I was just like, okay. But I was like, but I've seen some of the reviews. And I almost watched it.
Okay, but you have to understand, I don't know about your parents. My parents, I wouldn't necessarily judge on my personal movie taste because they hate Moulin Rouge. My parents hate that movie with a fire-burning passion. They will tell you a whole story about how much they hate Moulin Rouge. And I love Moulin Rouge because I am a... But...
I wish the audience could hear that.
They probably could a little. But we'll have to bleep it out. But no, I enjoy it. But so I don't necessarily base my parents' judgment of movies.
But see, when my mom likes something, usually it's good. It's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Because me and my dad love Pootie Tang. And that's a god-awful movie. Have you seen Pootie Tang?
I've never seen Pootie Tang,
okay,
no.
Okay,
but you've brought it up multiple times. And
Joe, we're going to watch Pootie Tang, man.
It'll be our first TikTok live.
Yes.
Before they ban it. But
oh, no, for your birthday, we should definitely do that.
Oh, my God. For my birthday?
Yes.
God. That sounds like a birthday present for you, not for me. But no, that's interesting that they said, now here's the thing. I'll give them, it was very well done. It was, the sets were great. The costuming was great. A lot of the acting was great for the most part. It was kind of just like the story was just so unoriginal. It was so, I don't know. Okay. So it started off, let's get it. So it started off as
who's
a little.
Who's in it?
It starts off with Millie Bobby Brown.
Ooh.
And she's a princess of the North. Heard that before. She's a princess up in the North, and her father needs her to get married because they're all poor, and it's about to be, and it's winter, and they're waiting for the big frost to. Does this sound familiar at all? It's No, nothing.
No, not
nothing. Nothing you've ever heard of.
Never heard of.
She also has red hair.
Okay.
But so Millie Bobby Brown, her and her stepmother Angela Bassett, which was
Wait, what? Yes.
I couldn't wait for them to explain it because like it was like a white man with his two little white daughters, and then Angela Bassett was the queen, and I was like, how are they gonna explain this?
Because she is a queen.
Literally, because she is a queen. But literally, the first 2 seconds where Millie Bobby Brown sees her, she goes stepmother, and you're just like, oh, okay. Well, they very clearly shoehorned that explanation in, but it was a little confusing, a little jarring. I was like, I love Angela Bassett and she can do no wrong. I don't know why she's in this movie.
Money.
It is what it is. So they need her to get married so that she can, they can get some gold so they can feed their people. She's doing her duty. She's like, I must do my duty as a princess because that's what I should do. And so they all go down to this island. They get invited to marry the prince or whatever, and so everything happens as a wedding. Everyone's happy. Like I said, it was very well done. It looked amazing. And so then they're sitting there and they're like, okay, we're gonna send the family off to go do whatever. And there's this point where the queen and the dad, they're like, we need to discuss the final plans. And so they're like, nothing to worry these children about. They just need to get to know each other. So he takes her horseback riding, and it's so cute. And they go on their little, like, first date before they get married the next day. And it's so cute. She gets the whole princess treatment, bride, marriage, beautiful. They send the family off. They're like, all right, goodbye, family. Go back to the north with all your gold. We don't ever want to see you again. And the queen is rude as fuck to Angela Bassett because Angela Bassett is literally sitting there and she's like, oh, since we're going to be family, I'd like to get to know you better. And she goes, darling, I don't think we need to do any of that. You need to know your station. And like,
station.
Yeah. She's like,
damn, that sounds like some slavery.
She put her in her goddamn place, so to speak. And so Angela Bassett is like, do not marry this man. She's running up and down the halls. Do not marry this man. There is something wrong with these white people. And and she was correct. So they send the they get married. She obviously goes through with it. They get married, send the family off. And then they're like, we just need to do one more historical ritual up on the top of this mountain. And she's like, okay. And so they go up to the top of this mountain and everyone's around wearing gold masks, just hard, cold gold masks. And she's like, that's kind of weird. And so then they keep going. And then they like perform this ritual. And she's like, blood of my blood, blah, 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 blah. They cut her hand. And he's like, now you're of royal blood. He's like, let me carry you because of bride stuff. It's tradition. And she's like, okay, just going with it. And he goes, close your eyes. Trust me. And she goes, okay. Throws her into a cavern down to the bottom of the fucking mountain.
Wait, pause. So wait, this is not a love movie?
This is not a love story. And it's kind of
Taylor Swift?
It's a love story, baby. Just say no. Like Angela Bassett said. So throws her to the bottom of the cavern. She's like, what is going on? This is crazy. And doesn't know what's going on. She literally has no idea what's happening. She starts looking around and she's like looking for stuff. And then she's like, that's not my crown. This isn't my ring. This isn't my stuff. Realizes that princes have been being thrown into this cavern for a while. Yeah.
Like some 300 shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they are sacrificing young women to a dragon.
Understandable.
You know, it had its place in time, you know, when we, you know, in the 1300s, when we were just sacrificing women to dragons, it was called society. It was called culture. Yeah, of course. So then the movie basically switches and turns into this weird, like it goes from like Game of Thrones / princess story to Predator because this creature stalks her through these caves.
Okay.
And it's kind of like Slinky and there's like a whole backstory. And so like the whole time she's like going through it and all this stuff. My biggest problem with this movie is like it's called Damsel. Obviously, Damsel in Distress. They're trying to like play as like she can take care of herself. And like, yes, she does do that up to a point. But this is a little bit of a spoiler, but like it's a Netflix movie, so calm down. At the end of the day, somebody does come back and like saves her or like tries to save her, and that's how she gets out. Like that's how like
okay.
It's kind of annoying and is antithetical to the premise of it, because
yeah.
at the end of the day, she did need somebody to come help her. Otherwise, she was going
to
die.
Yeah, because their family needed somebody to save their family mm-hmm. with, you know, bringing finances and money to it. They needed somebody, and Millie Bobby Brown needed somebody to save her at the very end. Like,
and I mean, but is that, and I mean, maybe I missed that moral of the story, is yeah. that everybody needs help yeah. sometimes.
No, but it definitely gave off the vibe of like Millie Bobby Brown's supposed to be this badass,
this
like,
girl boss character, yes, exactly. and it's like, and it felt kind of girl bossy. But there were some parts of the movies where I liked it, I enjoyed it. It was paced very well. It had some twists and turns that I was like, that's an interesting way to do that. That like obviously there are like you go into the backstory of why they're sacrificing these yeah. people and what's going on, and it kind of delves deeper into that and also has ramifications for her as a person and like everything there. But at the end of the day, she did need somebody to come back and help her. Otherwise,
yeah,
otherwise she would have died and almost did die, and the only thing that stopped it was somebody coming.
So my question about this movie is, do you think that like that was like a in production kind of thing? Do you think they started writing this story and then were like, oh fuck, how do we end this? And then
kind of, I mean, it's one of those deus ex machinas where it's like, you like, and I feel like so many movies now, and that's the thing, so many movies now rely on that deus ex machina. They rely on the last minute, something comes in and changes yeah. everything and everything, the story. It's like when you're like watching like a horror movie or a thriller or a mystery, and it turns out the person that killed all these people wasn't even introduced until act three. Like, what are we doing? Like, why did we like shoehorn an explanation in at the end? And it just feels like that
just kind of ruins the whole movie.
Well, yeah,
the whole vibe.
I think that we just rely too much on storytelling as someone comes in and saves the day.
Yeah.
And in a movie called Damsel, it should not have had that.
Or it should have, but not portrayed as like
the
damsel is a,
she's gonna
yeah
fight, and then at the end she becomes Khaleesi, like
yeah,
like it, so, it, and so I think that might be why it's like maybe that was new to somebody, or like interesting to somebody who like
yeah,
or just needed that Game of Thrones itch scratch. If you need a little Khaleesi Game of Thrones itch, yes,
watch. You need
it.
A dragon. If you
yeah,
need a dragon.
If you need a dragon and a girl boss, this is the movie for you.
So what'd you rate it?
I rated it like a 6. I thought it was better. It wasn't just average. It was a little better than that. It
okay,
was
cool.
Just slightly above
slightly
average.
Slightly enjoyable, but yeah. like you would never watch this again.
I wouldn't. I would need to be very stoned and in a mood if I wanted to watch this again.
Okay. All right. So this is a section where we talk about TV shows that we recommend, and we've been watching. What's a TV show you've been watching, man?
Oh my God. So when I was on my little trip, I stumbled across this Japanese television show. It's a teen show. It's called I Cannot Reach You. I watched all of it in like less than 12 hours.
How many episodes?
There's only 8 episodes. They're like a half hour, so it's super easy to get through real quick.
What's it on?
It is on Netflix.
Of
and
course.
What it's about these two Japanese boys who grew up together. One of them lost his father when he was very young, and he was like, oh my God, life's so hard. But like this guy stuck through it with him in the end. And he's like a silly, goofable, lovable guy. So Yamato, who is the guy whose father passed away when he was young, he's like hot. Women are throwing themselves at him. He gets all the good grades in school. Everyone loves him. And he's so popular, but like he doesn't speak. And like that like adds to his whole popularness. And everyone is like, girls throw themselves at him. I mean, they just scream, oh my God, he's so handsome. Why won't he be mine? Like at him. It's interesting. And I'm kind of like, do Japanese teachers act like this? Because I'm very curious to know. And
I think there's in Japan, there's a huge school fetish.
Yes. And
huge
well, and so
fetish.
The other part of it that was like interesting to me is like, they were literally dressed up. Like if you had taken characters in the school setting of Sailor Moon and just pulled them out, that would be what these people were dressed as. Oh, okay. So it's kind of interesting to see that, like, nothing there has changed stylistically. But so it's him, Yamato, and I think it's Kin. Oh, I have it written down here. Of course I do. He plays Kakeru. And so Kakeru is like this silly, goofy, lovable guy. He just wants to have a good time. And so it's very like opposites, kind of like in a friendship.
Yeah.
And they're just like, they complement each other very well. And he like help, like the smart one helps Kakeru get ready. Yamato helps Kakeru get ready for the tests and stuff and like all that. But Kakeru like wants a girlfriend. He wants to be dating someone, but he's like, he gets such bad grades and he's so awkward and all this stuff. And so they're going through everything. And then all of a sudden there's this like one time where they like go on a big group date to a bowling alley. And he overhears his friend. These girls are throwing themselves at his friend again. They're like, oh my God, you're so hot. Like, let's hang out, blah, 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 blah. And they were like, what kind of girls are you into? Or like, who are you interested in? He's like, I don't know. I'm usually interested. He's like, somebody who's like a childhood friend to me. And Kakeru hears this and eyebrows raised. They're all on a like triple double dates or whatever. Eyebrows raised. And he starts getting confused. And he's like, what's going on?
Is this a gay love story?
This is a gay love story.
What the?
Oh my God. And it's okay. So cute and so sweet. And like,
all right.
So basically how I would explain this show to someone, it's like if Serena and Damien from Sailor Moon got plucked out of the show, were both men, that'd just be the show.
Okay.
And there'd be no magic or anything. It would just be them hanging out at school. But it's so cute in the fact that like how they deal with their feelings and how everything, and he's like, Yamato, he's down bad. He wants Kakeru so bad and it's so obvious. And
okay.
He's like pining for him, but he keeps it to himself. And he's like, I'm not going to tell him anything. But then it kind of gets to the point where like Kakeru can't really like ignore it anymore. And even though he just wants to be friends and he just wants to stay friends, like he cannot ignore it. And so then he goes into the thing, he's like, wait, but like, do I like him? I never even thought about it.
Yeah. So it's like a self-discovery.
Yeah.
Figuring it out. Okay.
But it's very akin to Heartstopper, if anyone's seen that, or Young Royals. It's like cute, innocent, gay love story. There's no like sex really going on. It's not like over. It's one of those shows where like it's like the lightest brush or graze, yeah, or like the lightest hand touch. And it's
sweet and innocent.
It's so sweet, yeah, and innocent, but it's also like so almost anime Japanese, because like it'll like he'll like touch his hand and then it'll get like all bright and there'll be like light shining and like super intense, like music is playing and you could tell they're like breathing just gets really heavy and they're like, it's so cute and so good. And if you liked Heartstopper, if you like Young Royals, anything like that, red, white and royal blue, if you liked like queer, young, innocent romance, watch this. It is so good. It is in Japanese. It is subtitled. It does not matter. It is so fucking cute and so fucking good. And I rated it a 10 out of 10 because that's who I am as a person. And it was just so perfect.
Okay, cool.
All right. So what have you been watching lately?
So sticking on the Japanese train.
Ooh.
Again, guys, I'm probably going to give you an anime like once a month at least.
Ugh. Yeah, mine was, it's not an anime and it, but
It could be,
and it's really good.
It's probably based off a book.
I think it is based off a manga. Yes, you are correct.
And so mine is called Ninja Kamui. When I tell you that this is on Adult Swim. It premieres every Saturday at
Adult Swim. I haven't heard that name in a while.
Yeah, midnight on Saturdays. So
I didn't even know they were still fucking like that.
Yeah,
I just knew. Okay. Go off.
They're still going strong, actually. You know, they still got Rick and Morty.
I mean, I know about Rick and Morty, but like that to me was always kind of a one-off.
Yeah, no. So this one, if you want to watch a show where there's just nonstop action, we're killing fucking people, and it's going crazy, it's awesome. It's awesome. I give it a solid 8 out of 10. Because first, the animation is beautiful. Beautiful. The fight scenes are amazing. And it's your typical John Wick style movie or TV show. So this so basically there's ninjas, right? Like in every other
I would hope there are ninjas in Ninja Kamui.
Yes. So there's ninjas and they're in a secret society for ninjas which they kind of break up from. And there's certain people who have left that ninja culture. If you leave the ninja culture, then the ninjas are going to come after you and try to kill you. And so we follow this guy who left that ninja culture, and he's out in the middle of nowhere. He has a farm. It's just him and his son and his wife, and they're just enjoying life. They're just trying to live out their life. They're just trying to be just, you know, wholesome people.
Idiots.
They're also wearing, like, these masks that change their entire appearance.
Okay, so they're not idiots.
Yeah, and so they get caught.
Idiots.
And so these ninjas come, and they kill his wife and son right in front of him.
Why are they always doing the wife and son right in front of him? I get that it's psychological and it's horrible, but goddamn, just kill him.
He kills 20 dudes before
okay.
that happens.
Okay, okay.
Like when I tell you this dude goes off and this dude is crazy, dude is him.
Just because he wouldn't hit him back? Just give him be like, hey, babe, I don't want to be a ninja anymore. He's like, you're dead.
Yeah.
And no, everyone else is dead. Okay.
And so there's a huge massacre. He almost dies and goes into a hospital. And that's when this other character, which is an FBI agent, comes into play.
What? I'm sorry. What time period is this?
I would probably say this is probably like 20 years from now.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Because when I was thinking ninjas, I'm thinking like back.
No,
okay.
This is 20 years from now.
Probably. Oh.
Okay. He was in Japan, but now he's in America. And so the FBI gets involved because a bunch of people died. And then ninjas try to finish him off at the hospital. But somehow he survives. And he is like, oh, you killed my daughter. Or my son and my wife. I'm fucking murdering everybody. And so basically what happens is it's a John Wick kind of story.
Revenge story.
Now, the FBI agent, though, he is getting close to retirement, but he's a true hard, you know, cop FBI agent. And so he's, like, investigating all this stuff where he starts to notice that things are getting covered up. And every time he tries to open his mouth, somebody, like, shushes him, tells him, hey, get your nose out where it's not supposed to be. And then, hey, you're going to take administrative leave, like, you know, until you get your mind right.
Oh.
And so the FBI agent and our main protagonist, Joe, stick together. Joe kind of helps him out, and then he does all the how can I get my revenge.
So an ex-ninja and an ex-cop go out for revenge?
Yeah, basically.
Hmm.
And you start to realize that this, like the Ninja Society, they're fronting this entire technology company. So they're making money and stuff like that.
Okay.
A lot of dirty secrets. They have these politicians in. So then it's a lot of society problems, like issues that these corporations are really big. But also behind this is this Ninja Society. And when I tell you, Joe, heads get cut off, legs get chopped. We go crazy.
Is it like that just every time, like a samurai sword, you just see blood spraying everywhere?
Blood spraying everywhere. It's if you're just looking for some action and want like John Wick, It's that kind of anime.
And what did you watch this on?
It's on Max.
It's on Max. Oh, it's on Max.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can because Warner Brothers owns it.
Oh, they do on Crunchyroll, don't they?
No, not Crunchyroll. They own Adult Swim.
Oh, it's Adult Swim. I keep forgetting this.
Yeah. So great show. If you're looking for just a I just want to sit back and just watch some action happen. Perfect. Great. Great, easy story to remember. Revenge. That's all you need to know.
Like, I'm interested. The whole ex-cop, because I was like, God, it's a buddy cop movie or buddy cop show. It's like a cop, but it's an ex-cop and an ex.
Yeah, they're both
samurai.
Scorned. They're both both scorned. And so he has his own motives. And at the end, he's like, I'm going to turn you in to the ninja. And the ninja's like, bro, like, I'm him, bro. You can't do nothing.
I am the ninja.
Yeah, like,
Jesus.
Exactly. So great show. Definitely highly recommend.
All righty.
All right. Final topic. And the final time we'll talk about this until
next time.
Until next time. It's Lib. And
Love
Joe,
is Blind.
Joe, I'm glad you're back for this week. Very glad you're back. But let's talk about the reunion, man.
Oh, God. What are we going to say about the reunion? First of all, I want to commend Nick Lachey and Vanessa Lachey.
Yeah.
I can't imagine this show and defending the show, to be honest. But the way they defended it actually made me almost believe in it again. because they called them out. They called their asses out for their being.
And being honest, that's true journalism.
That's
real journalism.
It was good. And, it, you know, there's because of the way that they split it up, because of the way that, like, we get a few episodes here, and then there's all this online stuff, and then we get more of the story, and then there's all this online stuff. I feel like this is the first time they've really, dove into that. And
into social media trends.
Into what was going on. Because, girl, they had those screenshots in 4K up above everyone's head. And they were ready to call you out on what. And also just their questions. Because there is one.
They kept digging at the questions.
Because these motherfuckers, when I said, please get media trained before you go on, they did get media trained. And they learned how to skirt around a question. But Vanessa was not fucking having
it. No, and that's. And, to be honest, at the very beginning, I always think, who are Nick and Vanessa? And then, when they do, the middle scenes, you see them. Who's I don't really care for them. But, I'm not going to lie. This reunion really made me appreciate them because you know that they have certain questions that their producers told them, hey, you're going to ask. But it was I'm asking a follow-up question. You're trying to skirt away. No, let me fucking ask it again in a different way. You think this wasn't right? Well, you think that wasn't disrespect? And just blatantly asking the best questions.
I remember one question in particular where she was going in on Jeremy and she was like, why would you share your location with her and then lie? And he goes on this long roundabout story about how he shared his location and blah, 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 this. And he avoids the question and she goes, that's great. I didn't ask that question. She goes, why did you lie when you shared your location with her? And he said, well, I didn't lie intentionally. What the fuck do you mean? Bitch, you were caught lying.
Let's just dive into Sarah and Jeremy and Laura. First of all,
I want your reaction first.
All right. First of all, you weren't here for the last episode.
No.
I do not think that Sarah Ann did anything wrong. Okay. Was it the best way? No. But at the same time, how else could she shoot her shot?
I think here's where I'm disagreeing with you. I think that what she did was understandable? Yes. Did I think that she didn't do anything wrong? No. And that's the difference for me. I think that she, because at the end of the day, they were engaged and she reached out to an engaged man and said, if you don't fuck with her anymore, I'm always here. Which we know you will be, Sarah Ann.
Be
there.
You know what?
They were engaged.
No, hold on. Yes, they were engaged.
It was disrespectful.
No, they were engaged, but you got to also think this is a day or two after they were in love with each other. They've been dating. They really liked, she felt a real genuine connection. And I get that. And all she said was, hey, it would be different if it's like, hey, call me or this, or hey, let's hang out. And like that would be different. That's 100% different. But she said, hey, if anything changes in your relationship, I'm here. That's all she said. So I hate when people are hating on Sarah Ann when it's all Jeremy. Jeremy's the fuck. Jeremy's the one who did that shit to Laura.
But he wouldn't be doing it if she wasn't throwing it at him.
Saying, hey, I'm still here, throwing it at him?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
When you're engaged to another woman and another woman comes up to you and starts being, hey, daddy, yes, that's throwing it at him.
Okay, that's not hey, daddy. Okay.
Hey, the second you get, if you ever get bored with her, I'm here. It is the same that you were letting, she is letting him know that she is available to him. Engaged man, but he broke up with her.
But it'll be different if, like, let's say me and my wife. If me and my wife, we dated for four years before we got engaged. And if somebody said that, 100%.
But this is the difference what I mean by, it's understandable, but it's not okay. I understand that. And I understand all of that. It's understandable what she did, but that doesn't make it all right.
Yeah. But again, this is where me and Joe, okay, guys, again, me and Joe disagree on a lot of this, actually. But the one thing that we do 100% agree on is that most of these people who are on this show,
they should not have been on the show.
Should not have been on the show. But anyway, I loved Laura. I loved how Laura kind of got her, you know, clap back, got to ask some questions.
My favorite thing about Laura is she was, and this is again where I go with this, at the end of the day, she's like, at the end of the day, we were engaged.
Yep.
And you came to my man, and he did the wrong thing, which last episode you said the double tap wasn't that bad, but he did the wrong thing.
Okay. Okay. Again. To me, as a very secure man who is in a loving relationship, a double tap is not bad.
Sure, but that's not you, and that's yes, not these people, yes, and that's not these women. And like when you're engaged to a man and it's only been like 3 weeks, yes, that is a breach of trust because I don't trust you because I don't know you like that. And we're trying to get to know each other like that, but you're going after this. You're entertaining this girl.
That's why, again, that's why I think like this experiment is kind of crazy because we're getting married within a month.
I don't think it's an experiment anymore. I think we know the answer. And I think the answer is that love is not blind.
Yeah, no, like, we're getting married within a month. At least 90 day fiance, you got 90 days.
Yeah.
Like, but... I'm happy for Laura. Everybody cut off Sarah Ann.
Everybody cut off Sarah Ann because I mean, she did.
Is she a pick me girl?
What do you think throwing yourself at an engaged man is?
God. Okay, like pick me girl would be like I'll take anybody, and that means like any of the other guys she would easily be going to. That would be a pick me girl. We got to be coming from what is Sarah Ann getting from? And she literally said that, like, Jeremy was telling me that he's going to cut it off to pick me. Like, Jeremy's going to do this, which he did. This is all, like, if Jeremy is feeding all, if she had a real genuine connection, is actually, like, very shocked that he picked Laura instead of her, then I understand. And maybe she just wanted that, like, clarification.
All I know is she was clinging onto Jeremy for dear life the whole time. And
the only thing I would say that she's a pick me is, why would you choose Jeremy?
I think that's
where you're coming from.
I think that's why a lot of people, because, like, at the end of the day, it just looks like she's choosing him to look like she won. And that's pick me behavior.
Okay. I get that.
And so I do kind of get that. Like, and I wouldn't call her maybe a pick me girl in her everyday life, but on this show, girl, I mean, if the shoe fits, like, strap it up. But for me, I think Sarah Ann deserved that much hate from people? No, Jeremy deserves all the hate.
Jeremy deserves everything.
Jeremy deserves all the hate. He was a liar. He he just didn't tell the truth.
Do you still believe that they didn't do anything?
Oh, please. She was moved in with him.
Like, talking about the night. The night.
No. You're going to believe me that they weren't doing. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, like, Chelsea called that. I was like, I've never just hung out
with some guy until 6 a.m. If I'm out until 6 a.m., you best believe something has happened. Something better have happened or something happened to me.
Yeah.
I don't care. But, like, you're out till 6 a.m. and you got a fiance at home.
Yeah. No. Something happened. I don't care what they say.
Something happened. They can lie all they want, but like it just doesn't make any sense. Just stop lying.
The one question I kind of didn't understand why they kept grilling her on was the entertainment one. When Vanessa was like,
oh,
when they showed the video. Well,
so,
like,
I mean, for me, that was just them trying to be like, it's them basically. Well, that was just Nick and Vanessa trying to like bolster the show, defend the show, because the show got a lot of heat. I mean, it has got a lot of heat in the past, but it got a lot of heat just because it's like, are they supposed to be entertainers or are they supposed to be actual contestants looking for love?
What do you think?
Well, I think we all know the actual answer.
Yeah.
And it's that we want this to be real. And I do think that Nick and Vanessa actually think that this is a real love experiment. And the producers are like, just keep telling them that.
Just keep telling them.
They're like, they all believe in love. Because I listened last week, and to Midori's point and your point, they are all attractive people, like genuinely attractive people. It's kind of like splitting hairs between hotness of, oh, she's hotter than her, but like she's still like hot. You know what I mean? Like, it's
like Jess and Chelsea.
Yeah. Like they're both very attractive in their own ways. And honestly, it's like the epitome of which type you would go for. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy to me. And but
Chelsea doesn't look like Megan Fox, but like she is still beautiful.
Yes. And, but they were all beautiful. That's what's crazy to me.
I need 400-pound people.
Most of the men were really attractive, too. There were a few that got in there that you're like, okay. But there are a lot of people that do think Jimmy is attractive, conventionally.
He
did look better with a
beard. Much better with a
beard. I was like, girl, there we go. All we needed. But it's gotten to the point where it's like, they have to put pretty people up on this show to get people to watch, because are we actually going to watch Uggos fall in love?
No.
As somebody who would never even get casted on that show, like, I can say that because like they're not going to cast somebody who even, I don't even know who would look like you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they are shallow, and it has to come, you have to be TV hot, and it's, and when you're dealing with people like this, are they really looking for love or are they trying to get on TV? It's kind of a simple answer, and I think you're silly if you think otherwise. Yeah. I do think, and we've talked about this before, I do think that there are people who are on the show for love and are actually looking for love and just so happen to be attractive.
Yeah, like
Johnny and Amy.
But let's be honest, if the whole show was made up of Johnny Amy's, we would not watch it.
No.
But your biggest thing was a condom.
But like, I'm almost like nervous about this show and its future, because I'm like, these people are getting, it feels like it's escalating every season, and somebody's gonna end up shot. Like, somebody's gonna go crazy, and they are not.
There's people who really genuinely believe that this is their relationship, like especially like with Clay, we're getting into it. Clay is getting dragged through the mud of just like random, again, we're going to get into it, but like so many people are commenting, and like Chelsea at the beginning is just getting, it's just like we've gotten to a point where like reality TV, it's just like everybody feels like they need to say something, and 90% of it's negative.
Yeah,
and so that's when this show, it's like, we're getting to the point of like, this is starting to get too big, where like you're hurting people's like real livelihoods and feelings and stuff like that. Because again, these people, I saw on TikTok how much they get paid. They don't get paid anything. And like,
it's literally just a springboard to other things. That's what they want. Like, there are a couple people, they brought them on for the reunion, and then they're going to go on The Perfect Match.
Which they're still, again, they're still aren't making that much money, and they're not that famous enough where they're making like legitimate money.
I don't think you understand how much brand, how much you can get out of brand deals.
Yeah, but like, what, your brand deal is only going to last like how many years?
I've paid someone $85,000 for one night of posting. And so, yeah, it can go pretty far pretty easily.
Are they still relevant?
Yes. I'm not going to say who it was.
Yeah, no, no. But like, we're talking about the people from Love of the Blind, their relevancy is only going to last for the next two.
Until, but that's the thing is the, and yeah. But that's the thing is like their relevancy is only going to last for so long. So they have to get on it now.
Yeah. So that's why I get Trevor. And that's going to be the next person.
Ooh, my
that we're
man,
gonna talk about.
Trevor, Jesus Trevor. Christ, you dumb, beautiful man.
All right. First of all, we were so team Trevor, both of us.
We were so team Trevor. I was almost going to say I'm still kind of, but I'm not team Trevor, but like I wanted so much better for my baby boy.
Oh my God.
But he lied to us. He lied to me. He lied.
And
to
then
Nick
he lied. And then he lied on the reunion. Like, oh, she's, you know, I really don't care. And then again, this is where Nick asked says the best thing. You don't say I love you to a text right before you leave to somebody you really don't care about. And he's like, oh, I'm just going to blame it on a toxic relationship. No, motherfucker.
That was motherfucker. So, okay, that's the thing is like he came so half-cocked and it wasn't even funny. This is, again, what I mean when I say people need to be media trained. He came in so half-cocked, and they put those screenshots up there, and the motherfucker froze.
Had
like
nothing
full
to say.
Glitch. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, what did you think they were gonna ask?
And then, like, I loved how the makers of the showrunners were like, no, we're gonna keep that awkward pause. We're gonna keep that in, because they could have easily cut that and just chopped it a little bit quicker. They said, we're gonna keep this awkward-ass pause in here.
And I do think that this whole reunion was kind of like Nick and Vanessa like protecting their show, and I think that a lot of people like were on board with that. Sarah Ann was not one of them, and Trevor was not one of them. Trevor, they raked him over the coals, and they made an example of, if you come onto our show and you try to get famous, baby, we'll make you famous, but for the wrong fucking reasons. And they said that with their chest, basically.
The thing I don't get, though, is why did Trevor even go on the reunion?
They must have lied to him or something. Somebody must have lied to him because he looked like a deer in the headlights.
Or maybe they said, if you want your shit to be cast on the next like show,
maybe
you have to do this.
Or what I really think happened was he had his whole little speech planned, and then in the heat of the moment, he realized that he could not gaslight his way out of this.
Yeah,
and I think that he saw when like Nick kind of like went after him that one time. That's when he was like, "Well, it was a toxic relationship, and then I need to go to therapy." And you're like, "Okay, dude, obvious. Like we knew that. Like we saw that very clearly." But like, this is not the time. That's the other thing. And this could be a segue into what we're talking about. Reality television shows should not be where you go for therapy.
Yeah, no, like I really think that it's kind of like poor on him to like blame him being in toxic relationships on why
he lied.
Like that's not being in a toxic relationship. That's like you literally just straight up lied. You didn't tell anybody else that you had a girl.
Because that's
the difference. Because I really do think that's the difference between that's why Jeremy gets off the hook with his ex fiance, is because in the pods he did tell both Laura and Sarah Ann that I was engaged,
and they made sure to let everyone know that they said, Laura, we need a yes or no answer. Did he tell
and
you that?
Like, and she said yes, and so which is kind of crazy because like, did they not catch that on camera? How they not catch that on camera?
I don't know.
So that's why he gets off the hook of that. But when Trevor gets on here and he doesn't tell Chelsea about that of this other girl at all, that's when you can't blame that on, oh, I was in a toxic, like we're toxic for each other. No, motherfucker, like you didn't tell me that you're talking to another person. So fuck Trevor. Fuck Trevor. He played on this, I'm a good guy, I'm a this and everything.
I'm
like
a
that.
Sweetheart, but good old boy.
He was like, oh, that was me
with
the
my
whole
mullet.
Time.
And did you see that he grew his mullet back out?
He did. Grew his beard more.
And I was like,
he did look better.
I mean, he looked good, but
it's been a year. It's been a year.
But I'm just sitting there and I'm just like, girl, just don't lie, or don't, if you're gonna lie, be better at it. Jesus, these people are bad liars.
And he was like, "Can I go?" And then they were like, "Hold up, before you leave, let's keep roasting your ass, and then now you can go."
Yeah, we're not done. Yeah. It was very much a, do not come on this show and be a fuckboy. Do not do it. If you have girlfriends at home, fucking leave them at home. Break it off. Call it good. Even if you're trying to get famous, for the love of God, do not have a girlfriend waiting for you when you get back.
But let's talk about the biggest fuckboy.
Your favorite.
Oh, my God. Okay. So, America, or the world, I guess. I don't want people to think that I think that Clay is a great person, is amazing, and he's just misunderstood. This is what I believe, is that he is or was a fuckboy. Like he said, I was a track athlete. I got bitches all the time. Like, he's a good looking guy.
I thought his brothers were much hotter.
Okay. But he's still a good looking guy.
Sure.
He got bitches a lot in college and stuff like that. He's an All-American. So, like, that's what he was used to. And then going back to what we both agree on, is that people got on this show not ready for the show, not ready to get married at the end. And so I do agree with you that, like, you should not go on reality TV to fix who you are. Because, yes, he does have problems. Like, and he started to realize. But here's the thing that, like, I do understand this. When you are, like, a player, when you are that kind of guy who's like, I can get girls this, and girls come and go, and it's cool. But when you find that one, when you find this, like, a girl that you're like, I'm willing to change myself, that was AD to him. And that's when he's like, okay, holy shit, I want to really make this work. I want to do everything in my power to make this work. He probably went on there, again, wrong intentions of like, yeah, I'm going to do this, you know, maybe get a little clout here and everything. But no, he actually found AD and was like, holy shit, I want this. But again, like you said, reality TV show is the worst time to try to get through all your shit.
Yeah, do not come half-cocked and being like, oh, you know, I have a really weird personality and I'm going to work on that in front of America.
And within a month, you can't expect all his insecurities, all his trauma and everything out to be gone. You can't expect that. And so I do understand why he goes to the altar and it's like, I'm not that guy yet. When I first was with my wife, I was not that guy. I couldn't. She said, yeah, I would be cool to marry, but I wasn't ready. I do, however, it's sad for AD that she got left at the altar. 100%. And that hurts. That hurts her. But you can tell from what he's given off. And this is where I think people need to give him a chance. Because I saw online a bunch of people were like, oh, he's fake, this is bullshit, blah, blah, blah. But he seemed genuine. I've been to therapy. I've even gone to different therapists.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I'm trying to work on myself. He says, I still love you. I want to be with you. And I'm working my ass off to make sure that I can be that man for you. And that's where I commend Clay, because, like, I think this is important in reality TV shows, of seeing a fuckboy really actually transform, of like, or at least showing men that, like, hey, there is no time of like when you just know the switch is, but you need to work on yourself if you ever want to be in a serious relationship. And I feel like a lot of men need to understand that. Of like, when you're in your 20s and or even in your 30s or 40, whatever.
God, they're still doing it up in their 50s and 100%. 60s. Like, men do not.
100%.
Like,
they're like, and this is also for women, for like Chelsea. you need to work on yourself. If you ever want to get that amazing relationship, if you ever want to be in that 20, 30, 50, whatever relationship, before you fully commit to somebody, you need to work on yourself. You're not going to get there just by like, oh, I'm just going to date somebody and just hope to God. No, if you don't love yourself and don't understand yourself, then how can you expect somebody else? And AD gave everything. You can tell, you can tell from that interview that AD loved that man.
Well, and that's, but that's kind of what makes, and I definitely see where you're coming from. I see all of those things. And I think at the end of the day, it just comes down to he should not have been on this show.
Yes.
For me, and I think where a lot of that stems from is like broken promises.
Yeah.
And you can tell me, and I think it is the difference between like Trevor and Clay, and why I do, and why I've turned, like, I do think that Clay has become a much better person. I do think that Clay has grown a lot. I think that he's definitely gotten a lot of what he needs, but like, babe, too little, too late. Like, that's how, kind of the thing is like, and that's what I, that's where I think that like a lot of men don't realize is when it is too little, too late, because he did go back and do all these things, and he did, and it's going to make him better for it. He's going to be a better partner for whoever he ends up down the line.
And it sucks for...
It sucks for AD.
It sucks for AD because, like, I'll admit, like, for me, there was one person who I needed to grow, who I needed to, and that person helped me find my wife. Because after that relationship, that's when I decided, hey, I need to do this. I need to be bad, blah, 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 blah. And it takes AD. It takes an AD to, like, make that man realize... Do I think that they might get back together? That door, I think that door's open. I think that door's open. You can tell that it's still a point of contention. She's still hurt, but she still genuinely has true feelings for him.
Yes.
And I do think that, like, from the no comment to the mannerisms, you can tell that she still wants him.
I think she still wants him, but she. I think it's hard for her to get back into that. And I think she's mature enough. I can honestly say that, like, if it were me, I would be too proud to get back together with a man who left me at the altar. No matter how many ways you slice it, how much he's changed, how much he's grown. At the end of the day, that man will always be the man who left you at the altar. And Clay, you will always be that man. And it is what it is. And you've grown and you've learned from it. And we all got to watch it happen live on reality TV. And we
love
it. And we thank you for it. But babe, there's no such thing as too little, too late. And men have a hard time grasping too little, too late.
Facts.
They think that there's always, and I'm guilty of it too. They think that there's always a way to win them back, or a way to like fix it, or a way to like, there's one thing that you can do to fix it, and that's just not the case.
But I agree with everything you just said, but again,
if she really loves her, she'll go back to him.
From my perspective, is just like, I'm at least going to try.
Yeah, and you should, and that's why I respect Clay.
Yeah.
And that's why I respect Clay, because at least he's still trying. Like, if he was just like, well, because that's what it felt like with Trevor. He's like, well, I did all I can do. Like, I was in a toxic relationship. I should go to therapy. Shoulda, woulda, coulda, babe.
Yeah.
And Clay did. And that's why I respect him. And I do think that he's grown a lot. Should he have been on Love is Blind? No.
No, no, not
at
all.
Why were you on that show?
He like, was not.
Babe,
you weren't ready.
Babe,
you weren't ready.
The end. If you know the end of the show is marriage, it's like, if you go on The Bachelor, at least they have more time.
Yeah.
And it's focused. There's only one person. You go on The Bachelor and you know that the end of the show is going to end in marriage. Girl, for the love of God, go on Love Island.
Yeah.
Go on, like, well, you can't go on Bachelor in Paradise because you got to go on the regular Bachelor first. But go on Love Island. Go on Too Hot to Handle. Something, girl.
Something else.
Don't go on Love is Blind. Like, for fuck's sake. But.
So, and that goes to our next couple. The Thumb. And
Jimmy,
and the Fox
and Jess was there too.
Yes. We can talk about Jess real quick.
I mean, you can't really talk about because Jimmy and Chelsea got glazed over. Chelsea didn't get any heat at all.
No,
they gave her, they like had her like chime in every now and then, but like, she was not questioned about her actions.
Which I was very confused.
I was a little confused about at first. Like I thought that they would be like, okay, girl. But she did acknowledge the fact that she was supremely insecure, yeah. and that showed. And that was kind of why I think that they might have shied away from it, is because they're like, girl, you got to at least tell them. They're like, you were acting crazy on Maine. And, like, I do think that this show put these people in such a pressure cooker of emotion that she... And we haven't talked about this because I was gone last week, but, like, I think they came to a lot of tests in their relationship, and she did not pass those tests.
No, and me and him were texting, like, just about it, and just, like, I truly believe that Jimmy went in, and, yeah, we could tell at the beginning, this was not, like, who he usually goes for.
No, yeah.
And it's not a Jess. But I do think that he did love her and did want to be with her.
I think he loved the idea of being with her. I think he loved the idea of having a wife. I think he loved the idea of settling down.
And he was fine with Chelsea. And he was fine with Chelsea.
I think he was fine with Chelsea. I think he felt like he was settling for Chelsea. And that's the problem I have, is because she didn't feel like she was settling. She could feel him settling for her. And I think that's where a lot of the insecurities came from. Because you can tell when somebody thinks that they're a step above, or that they think that you're punching up.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's where a lot of the insecurities stem from.
I don't think all of them stem from.
No.
I'd say a small majority, part.
Sorry. I think she had a lot of insecurities.
Yeah.
Jimmy very clearly was settling for Chelsea, which, girl, don't ever let a man settle for you. And you did, but she didn't. But how she reacted was not.
And so, yeah, like, at first, I was all against Jimmy, like, oh, man, who cares? But at the end, I was just like, bro, Chelsea crazy. Get away from her.
What's wild to me is I truly think that if Jimmy ended up with Jess, they would have been happy and married. I think that if Chelsea ended up with Trevor, they would be happy and married somewhere.
Well, I don't know.
I really do think that. I do think that Trevor did like Chelsea, and I do think he would have married her, and I think he would have said, fuck off to that other woman, because honestly, I think that he just kept that woman at home on back burner. I think that's all that was. I don't think that he really cared about her.
But you say I love you. And then, bro, it's the
whole... But he said I love you to Chelsea,
no,
too.
No, it's the whole, the second I get home, let's get married.
Well, yeah, he's crazy. We've established that.
I'm not blaming that on being toxic. No, fuck that, bro.
I think him and Chelsea are both crazy and could have been very happy together.
I've been in toxic relationships, bro. I've never said, let's get married.
But that wasn't that part of your toxicity that you had any...
Anyway.
Wasn't that, like, part of it?
Oh, my God. Anyway.
Sorry.
Go, Jimmy. I think I'm glad Jimmy stood his ground.
I don't know about good Jimmy.
No, because, no, Chelsea was being crazy, and he was like, bro, fuck this. I'm like...
That's fair.
Yeah.
But what I didn't understand was why he went through the entire day with her picking out flowers and things, and then decide. Yeah. See, and that's the thing.
But he admitted that was wrong.
Okay, so just because you admit something's wrong doesn't make it okay.
But give him grace if he is remorseful for it.
Was he that remorseful? Was he really that remorseful? No, because Chelsea was acting crazy, and it is what it is. But that's what I'm saying is like they do things incorrectly that would piss anyone off.
Yes.
And I think that after that fight, he should have cut it off.
100%.
I think that should have been
it. I would have cut off that night.
I feel like this is my biggest problem. And this is my bigger problem with Clay as well, is I did watch a podcast where AD was talking and she gave him an out so many times. She was like, I told him we don't have to go to the altar. We do not have to do it. And they probably would have been happier and healthier in their relationship and continued dating had they not gone to the altar. But too little, too late, motherfucker. And that's why Jimmy, like, and that's why I have an issue with a slight issue with Jimmy, is it was too little, too late. I'm so tired of being too little, too late.
Sounds like a personal problem.
It is a personal problem, and I'm allowed to project on reality TV show characters. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here.
Yeah, but no, But I do 100% agree that they just grilled Jimmy about that.
Well, but they grilled Jimmy about Jessica. Grilled Jimmy. But I think that was fair because he was talking some shit.
That was fair.
Wrong, and he lied. He got caught in a lie on screen.
He did. He was like, it felt like 10 minutes. 2 hours and 15
and then
minutes.
And then he goes, here's what I mean by too little, like, and why I don't necessarily believe him is that toxic behavior is like, all right, I'll give you 45 minutes. And she's like, you're not giving me anything. We were there for over an hour and a half. And like, it was a fact.
Yeah.
And like, it's watching these men jump through these mental gymnastics to lie when there's cameras. That's the problem that I have and why I'm like, but did they change? But did they? Because he went on Jessica and was like, he's still lying in 4K.
Yeah. To be honest, did Jimmy grow from this? I wouldn't say yes.
I think a lot of people got a mirror held to them that they did not want to.
I don't think Jeremy grew. I don't think Ann grew.
No.
I
think Laura grew.
I definitely think Laura grew.
I think Jimmy and Chelsea both grew. Was it as much as some of the others? I don't know. Because honestly, at the end of it, they look kind of like the sane ones, other than Johnny and Amy. Johnny and Amy, that whole thing, just, I can't wait to see your kids.
All right. Yeah. Let's just talk about them. We had to go in our separate corners and do research for about birth control. Like, bro, what are we
doing?
How
old
man?
Are you? And then she's like, I had to tell him a lot about the rebirth. And all of us knew watching that conversation.
He did not know
what the fuck was going on. This man has never even seen a maxi pad. Like, that's how far deep I think it goes.
No, so, but good for them. They looked happy. They looked good.
Brittany and Kenneth.
Okay, that?
What?
Okay, super surprised. Because, like, the whole time I was, like, looking at them, and I was just like, they're really close or anything like that. And, like, no, we're best friends. What?
I do commend Nick and Vanessa for not bringing up the gay allegations. I think that would have been tacky. Do I wish they had done it? Maybe a little. Secretly, don't hate me. Tell us if you think that they should have asked.
You would have hella...
I would have alluded to it.
No, you would have been in the comments. That's bullshit to ask. You like, let's be
honest. I know. That's why I say I do.
In public, you'd be like, that's bullshit. But in reality, you'd be like, yeah.
That's exactly what I said. That's exactly what I just said. I said, I do commend them for not bringing it up. However, do I wish they kind of did? Maybe. I don't know. It's reality TV. I grew up in Wendy Williams TV. Like, I grew up when you, like.
We all did.
Celebrities did not have, like, so I don't know. But. It was just confusing. And then the whole, like, I had to text people on my school.
No, that, like, were
you all texting students and parents like that?
Well, middle school's different. I was in high school, so we're a lot more hands off. But, like, middle school, there's a lot of teachers you got to make sure you got to catch up with, assistant principals. You got to figure out what's going on. He probably has some. There's some flyer students that, like, he has to check up on regularly. So there's a lot more hand-holding, so I kind of get that.
That's true.
I did like how he did say. The thing about Kenneth, I believe he's a principal. He talks very eloquently. And the way he handled that question, of, like, he's like, I grieve differently. This relationship, it affects everybody differently. Yeah, I look stone cold, but that's just how I process. You might process by crying, like that. That's how Brittany processed. Mm-hmm. But, like, I process in a different way. And he was like, but no, I was still affected. I called Clay. I was sad. And so, like, I believe him. I'm happy for them that they're friends and everything like that. They're best friends.
I like that Laura apologized for Bean Dip. I forgot about that.
I don't think they needed to really.
They did not need to bring it up again. No. I forgot about it. I think they were really trying to avoid some, like, weird allegation.
But the thing is, I really wish Nick and Vanessa asked, did the black children, like, the question that AD, did that affect your decision or feeling? At all, Kenneth. And I think that's a reasonable question. That's not, like, crazy or anything like that. So I wish somebody asked that. But for the most part, I'm happy for them. They're happy. They're good. But yeah, I thought the reunion, I thought the, when we're talking with Clay and we talked to Sarah Ann and Jeremy, I thought those parts were great. The rest were okay. I haven't watched all the seasons of Love is Blind.
No,
so
I haven't either.
I did not care about to catch up with these people's lives.
It was kind of, because I watched some of last season and...
Oh, we saw Izzy, and he was just like, yeah, my credit's back. Like, good. Like, cool, bro. Like, I really don't care.
See, I thought that was funny because, I mean, this man got raked over the coals for his finances. So, like, it was a good joke.
Yeah, no, it was fine. It's just... Yeah, let's bring our couple from season one.
I don't
Kwame
know.
Kwame from
I didn't
season
feel,
four.
I didn't feel like we needed all of that. I feel like it was to prove, like,
prove
that the show works. Like, Nick and Vanessa are trying to keep the show on the air at all fucking costs. That's what they're trying to do. And I commend them for it. But we didn't need the, I mean, they were like, 9 couples have been, are still together. And I was like, grow out of 6 seasons with 20 per. That's not even half, like,
yeah.
It's not a great success rate, and I think that we do have come to the understanding 6 seasons in that Love is Not Blind. Now, what I really want is I want different versions of the show. I want a lesbian version. I want a gay version. I want an all bisexual version where they all date everyone.
I'm not gonna lie. I would be very interested in the bisexual one.
Well, if you've ever seen Are You the One, they do a sexually
really?
Fluid queer season, and it's so good. And that's why I want, it for Love is Blind, because I do think it, I think that we're done watching straight people figure out if Love is Blind. I'm done.
No,
I think
you're gonna watch the next season.
Oh well, I'm gonna watch the next season. But what I'm saying is, as a society, we have answered that question for straight people. Love is not blind. It is not. There is a lot going on to this love thing, and it is not behind a wall. So let's.
I think we need more unattractive people. I think right now, again, like you said, nobody's gonna watch unattractive people. But if you really want to know if Love is Blind, I need 4s.
But I mean,
I need more 4s.
But at the end of the day, like, we all know how that's going to go.
Yeah, the ratings are going to go down.
Well, no, I don't mean the ratings. I think they'll go up because some really attractive people are going to end up falling for some very unattractive people. And then when they get on their knee and they pull the thing up, I think that we're going to see some shocked faces. I think that people are not going to handle it well, and I think people are going to share their whole asses. Like, here's the thing. Jimmy,
and that's what I want.
Jimmy was obviously not attracted to her, but he maintained his composure because she was pretty enough.
Yeah.
If her eyes were a centimeter further apart, or her hairline was like, if there was like one thing wrong with her, like, he would have been a dick about it. And like, well, maybe he wouldn't have been, but somebody in Jimmy's position would have been a dick about it. And we all know that that's what's going to happen. So yeah. I don't know if we need to do that.
Yeah. So tell us what you think. What other versions of Love is Blind would you want to see? But that's going to be our last time talking about Lib. And
hi, Penny.
And my dog Penny is like, hey, I'm ready for to go to sleep. So that's the end of our show. I'm your host, Jordan.
And I'm Joe.
And this is Double Trouble Features.